Happy Thanksgiving! Welcome, friends, to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm Campbell. It's great to have you here with us. Now, today we are continuing our holidays article for the month of November, and as we shared yesterday, the holiday that we are specifically referring to is, of course, American Thanksgiving. Now, before we get into our article, we have some friends back in the studio with us. How are you guys today, Brendan and Pauline?
Doing great.
Doing wonderfully. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Are you guys ready to stuff your faces tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Well, you know, of course, Thanksgiving is about the food and getting together with your family and friends. But more importantly, it is about being grateful. And so yesterday we talked about some ideas and some ways that we can express our gratitude. What was one of the things that stuck out to you about our lesson yesterday, Brandon?
I actually was really surprised at the self section. Normally, when you think about being thankful, you're thinking about something that someone else has done for you.
Right.
But the self really sort of caught me a little bit off guard, but it makes sense. You know, you need to be grateful for what you have accomplished as well,
right.
You know, because that's still helping yourself out as much as it might be helping someone else out.
Yeah, I think definitely taking time to realize, hey, I've done some good things this year, I think is a good thing, you know, and there's time to be humble, and I don't think that if you're acknowledging your accomplishments that you're not being humble. I think it's good to realize, hey, you know, I have value too, you know, and I think the difference between pride and humility is not so much that you put yourself down, but you realize that, hey, I have something to offer and I have value, but humility is shown by saying, hey, other people are just as good or better.
Well, and I think actually it is a great expression of humility that you're showing gratitude over your success. You're not just taking it for granted. You're not saying, I'm so great. Of course, I succeeded at all these things.
Right.
But you really take a moment to humbly acknowledge, like, wow, what a grace that I was able to accomplish these things.
Yep.
Like, I really need to just sit back and be grateful for that.
Exactly.
There was some hard work that went into it, but there was also just a lot of blessing and grace in that. So I'm going to be humbled in the process of being grateful for what my life has opened up to this year.
Definitely.
I think that's lovely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I think it's great to take some time to take assessment about what happened over your past year and what are some of the things that are good to celebrate, you know. And so today we're going to be talking more about being grateful. And, you know, it's not always easy to be thankful. I don't know. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, we tend to take a lot of things for granted in modern society, I think, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, all generalizations are wrong, but you get the idea. We tend to either be too busy to be thankful for what comes up, or we just don't think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's just hard times that we face in life at times where we're much more aware of the things that are difficult and painful than we are of the things that are good. And so it takes a little bit more energy and thoughtfulness to focus on the good.
For sure. You know, when things are going well and things are going our way, it's easy to be thankful and it's easy to feel good. But when things are a bit more challenging and you're facing a recession or you're facing problems, maybe an illness or different things happening, it can be harder to be thankful. But truth is, though, there is always something to be thankful for, you know, and sometimes it takes a little bit of work to find that thing, but if we take the time to be thankful, as we say, count our blessings, it can make life a little bit easier, right? Okay, so let's get into our article for today. Our article is on page 37 of your Advanced magazine, so please do open to page 37, and we'll start right at the top of the page.
There's no better time to be grateful. Here's how to spread the love. When the holiday that calls for thankfulness occurs during a recession, offering gratitude might not be the first thing on your mind. Trying to get people to remember the positive is challenging, says Annie Zirkel, a relationship consultant. Encouraging your children to feel grateful is one of the best things you can do for them, according to therapists. Your children are more likely to help others, do better in school, and be optimistic, says Zirkle. How you persuade your children to be grateful is important, Zirkle says. If I'm pulling you to optimism when you're at the other end of the rope, you pull back. First, go to where your child is. Give your child acknowledgement that she's bummed. You're sad that we don't have X, but turn it, the conversation, around quickly, Zirkle says.
So there's no better time to be grateful. Again, today is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in the United States is the fourth Thursday of every November. So today is the day that we celebrate Thanksgiving in the United States. There is no better time to be grateful. It is a holiday that calls for thankfulness. But as this article says, when this holiday occurs during a recession, offering gratitude might not be the first thing on your mind. Now, what are we referring to when we talk about a recession?
A recession is a time period where people are, I don't want to say down on their luck, but perhaps there isn't as much money flowing around in the economy. Mm-hmm. There might be more people unemployed. People can't afford, not necessarily basic necessities, but some of the luxuries that they normally get to enjoy.
Yeah, and so when maybe your family has hit on harder financial times, right, it can be hard to be thankful because maybe you're not able to get some of the things that you were able to enjoy in the past. And trying to get people to remember the positive is challenging, right? So oftentimes when we're talking about being thankful, we're talking about acknowledging the positive things that we have in our lives, right? The good things. And these are the things that we want to be thankful for. And as Pauline was saying at the beginning of the program, sometimes that can be hard. When you're having a hard time in your family, it can be hard to see the good things, right? You kind of mostly just see the negative. So how do we get our family and our friends and our children to feel grateful? And what does Zirkle say about encouraging your children to feel grateful?
Well, first of all, she tells us some reasons that we would want your children to feel grateful, right? It has a lot of positive effects on their lives. Mm-hmm. She says that studies have shown that they're more likely to help others, to do well in school, and just be generally optimistic, which stands to reason. Like we said, being thankful is all about seeing the bright side of things. Sure. But there are a lot of good things that come out of having a bright side, optimistic outlook on life. So she kind of goes through the reasons for why it's good to have an optimistic outlook. But then she goes into this other, you know, the how do you help your child do that? Mm-hmm. Down in the fourth paragraph, I believe, she says, if I'm pulling you to optimism when you're at the other end of the rope, you pull back. Mm-hmm. First, go to where your child is. Give your child acknowledgement that she's bummed. I really like this.
Right.
Because if you run too quickly to the bright side,
yeah,
it can really sound like you're devalidating and not acknowledging the real hurts that's there.
Yeah.
And that's an important other balance, right? We need to be able to acknowledge that there are real losses and real hurts in life,
sure,
that we can't just pretend everything's okay all the time. But while acknowledging the hurts or the pain, there is always other good to be found. So finding that balance.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that I think is great because it's a technique commonly used in persuasive arguing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever want to just pull against the other person,
right,
if we're thinking of this like a tug of war rope.
Right.
You don't really ever want to do that because they're just going to push back against you.
Yeah.
What you need to do is you need to go and acknowledge that their view is legitimate,
yep,
to a certain degree.
Sure.
And then you have to, you know, put forth your argument,
mm-hmm,
from their side.
Right.
And that's how you can really persuade someone. And in this sense, you are persuading someone to be thankful.
Yeah.
So it works really well. And I think this is a great example of how to Right. Do that sort of thing.
Yeah, you guys both make really great points, because the thing is, nobody likes to be wrong, right? And so if you're saying something and then someone comes at you and it says, well, you're wrong, you're going to want to stand up and defend yourself, right? That's just our human tendency. But if someone actually acknowledges your feelings, then you're more likely to listen, because they've agreed with you, then you're more apt to agree with them, right? And as Pauline was saying, you don't want to just kind of dismiss their feelings and just, and I know for my wife, a lot of times I have to learn to do that, you know, because as a man, I think a lot of times I just want to solve the problem, right? And she's telling me about something, a problem she's having, and most of the time she just wants me to listen, right? But as a man, I just kind of want to offer the solution. So a lot of times she's like, but you don't get me. You're not understanding what I'm saying. And I'm realizing, okay, no, what I need to do is acknowledge her feelings rather than just sweep in and just be like, oh, well, you shouldn't feel like that, you know. So I think the advice here that Zirkel gives us is really good. So acknowledging that, hey, your child is feeling sad, right? That's what it means by when we say that she's bummed. She's feeling sad that they're not able to maybe afford a certain thing that they really want. And it's true, you know, and it's natural to feel sad when you really want something and you're not able to get it. And so I think it's okay to acknowledge that and just be like, hey, you know, I know how you feel. But don't wallow there, right? You don't want to be like, yeah, you're right. It's terrible that we can't take this vacation. And wouldn't it be so great if we could just go, and now we're stuck at home, and oh, this is terrible. You know, you don't want to wallow in it with the child. You want to acknowledge it, but then you want to turn it around, right?
Yep.
And that's what it says here. Turn the conversation around quickly.
So I was trying to think how you would do that in a way that still wouldn't seem like you're like, but it's so, but we can still be happy, you know, in a way that doesn't seem too sappy
shallow.
And I was thinking, I think the way my mom used to do it would be more of the like, but you know, think of those other kids. Isn't it sad? There's some kids who aren't getting any whatever, you know, any pumpkin pie, who don't have a family to be with on this day. And so I think also including some empathy and understanding of a greater world can then, you can go, oh, that is sad. Oh, but I guess I do have something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And so there's kind of that turn to you, even within that like sad moment of like, yeah, that is sad. Of course, there are some others who are maybe even having a sadder or a harder time in life, and we can, when we remember that, it can make us grateful for what we do have, and maybe that's one way to kind of ease into that other side, like going from the, like, focusing on what I don't have to acknowledging what I do.
Your mom sounds like a wise woman.
She's pretty great.
Because, you know, in the way she did that, she's not telling you how to feel. She's kind of leading you to come up with your own conclusions, right? And I think that is like the ultimate, you know, negotiator,
right?
You're not telling the person what to think, but you're kind of leading them and guiding them towards that, and then they come up with their own conclusions. And I think that's great, is when you realize how much you have, and you know, you don't always want to compare yourself to other people, but when you realize how much you do have versus what other people might not have, it does create this sense of, wow, you know, I am really, really blessed. And as Zirkel was saying earlier in this article, that does allow us to be more willing to help others, right? Because I think a lot of times when we feel like we're lacking and we don't have enough, we kind of hoard and we're not as willing to give and to bless. But when we realize that we are very blessed and we have a lot and we have excess, then it's easier for us to go and help others.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have 5 ways that we can stimulate gratitude here. So let's get into our gratitude stimulation for a part of our article over here. So let's go over to the right-hand side of our article, and we will start at the top of the page.
Here are 5 ways to stimulate gratitude. Number 1, talk about what you're grateful for. Go around the table and let all the family members mention one thing that makes them happy. This exercise has 2 benefits, according to Aaron G. Frum, PhD, staff psychologist, the Family Institute at Northwestern University, Evanston, Illinois. You're making children aware of things they didn't see as blessings, and you're able to focus on the present rather than being anxious about your future. Number 2, describe the good things that have happened to you. Again, let everyone contribute.
All right, so we are talking about some ways to stimulate gratitude, and we're talking about stimulating something. It's encouraging something to grow, to develop, or become active. So we're kind of creating this environment where people start feeling the sense of thankfulness. So what is tip number 1?
Well, tip number 1 says talk about what you're grateful for, and it suggests that you just go around the table and let each person in the family say one thing that makes them happy.
Mm.
I liked that phrase, makes them happy,
mm-hmm.
Just because I know this is a common practice, at least it was in my family, especially at Thanksgiving, to go around and say one thing that you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, especially if you're with young kids mm-hmm. who are still understanding what gratitude means or thankfulness, I think that's just a nice little twist on it. Like, what makes you happy
right.
is a way to bring it down to a child's level, and they can sure. hopefully think of it even a little more quickly. Like, oh, well, this makes me happy.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really great way to put things. Because sometimes when you say, what are you thankful for? You might not be able to think of something. But when you say, what makes you happy? You know, that sometimes is an easier question to answer. And the table we're referring to here is, again, the idea that a lot of times at Thanksgiving, we have a big meal together, right? Again, kind of in the Asian culture, the Chinese New Year, that big feast. So we're all sitting around a table sharing a meal. And during that time, it's a good time to go around and share the things that make you happy.
Yeah, and I really like what you mentioned about bringing it down, you know, for children, saying make you happy instead of being thankful for,
mm-hmm.
because, and this is something I sort of mentioned earlier when I talked about how I was surprised at the self section
mm-hmm.
from yesterday. I don't think we really teach kids that you don't necessarily have to thank an individual to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
We always tell them, you know, say thank you, say
mm-hmm.
please and thank you. And at that point, you're always thanking someone else for something that they have done.
Right.
But that's not necessarily always the case when
mm-hmm.
you're talking about being thankful. You know, now,
right.
sure, there's a certain amount of, oh, I'm thankful to, you know, being thankful to God for what he's given me. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. And
right.
saying, you know, what are you happy really does clarify exactly what we're really focusing on
uh-huh.
for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And this exercise has 2 benefits. What are those 2 benefits?
Well, it says here that you are making children aware of the things they didn't see as blessings. So you're helping them to kind of think through, oh, wait, there are some things that I should really maybe take note of as a really good thing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to focus them on the good.
Mm-hmm.
While also the process of doing that helps them to focus on the present good as opposed to the anxious unknowns of the future. And that's
right.
a really nice balance.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, especially if you're going through a recession, maybe someone in the family lost a job, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. So it can be it can cause a sense of anxiety. But focusing on what you do have and the things that are making you happy, it can help to alleviate that. And number 2 is similar, so it's describing the good things that have happened to you. So earlier it might be the things, right, or different people that make you happy, but now we're talking about different events. So going back to that question, what makes you happy? Let's start with you, Brendan.
What makes me happy?
Hmm.
I've had a great privilege of being able to step out of my comfort zone and go to a place that I am a complete stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy that I got to have a bunch of experiences with a bunch of people that I probably won't see again for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I've become very good friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that makes me very happy.
Great. What about you, Pauline?
I'm still sort of a newlywed. I'm only into my second year of marriage.
Yeah.
And I have to say my husband makes me really happy.
Well,
and I'm very aware of that as I too am stepping into a new moment in life.
Right.
The event that I'm, you know, the milestone that has happened is that we have moved to Taiwan and to the whole other side of the world and are discovering that. And that is making me happy. But I'm very aware that it's a lot of my husband's presence in that that really brings a lot of the joy to that. So I'm feeling very grateful for my husband these days.
I understand. That's great. Okay, friends, what makes you happy? Think about that as we read the rest of our article.
Number 3, plan a volunteer activity. Let your children have input. Kids are more excited if they have a voice in the decision-making, Frum says. Possibilities include helping at an animal shelter, giving away gently used toys and books, donating to a food pantry, or visiting residents in a nursing home. Number 4. Start an accomplishment folder. Urge your children to save photos, special notes from you, and letters about their achievements. The letters and memorabilia help children feel loved and valued, Frum says. Number 5. Take a walk in the woods. Communing with nature not only provides the physical benefits of exercise and fresh air, but may lead you to become more generous and engaged with others, according to a recent study from the University of Rochester, New York.
So, we are talking about ways that we can stimulate gratitude. Now, number 3 here is similar to number 3 of what we talked about yesterday. What are we talking about here? Planning a volunteer activity.
Well, the article mentions a few examples, helping at an animal shelter, giving away toys or books that are gently used so they aren't damaged, you know, they still in very good condition, donating food to a food pantry. Mostly this is just talking about giving back to either a community or to someone else. And I think this really helps sort of stimulate, especially for children, seeing people who may be that well off or aren't as well off as you. It really helps give them a little bit of perspective.
Right. And I think I really like the suggestion here is that you want to get your children in on the process of deciding what you do, right? Because then they can have input in that. Okay. Now, what is number 4?
Number 4 says, start an accomplishments folder. I think this is a fun idea to encourage your children to save notes and maybe certificates from schools or sporting events or whatever, things that they have accomplished, and creating a folder of that so they can really look back and see all the things that they have done and all these special moments that they've already had in their year.
Yeah.
Sweet thing.
Yeah. I mean, my parents recently moved, and so I had to actually go back to their house and go through a lot of the stuff that I kept, you know, from when I was in elementary school and junior high school. And it was kind of fun to go through the memorabilia. That is a hard word to say. The memorabilia, right? So these are objects that you've collected and kind of things that you that have sentimental value, right? And you go back and you look and you're like, oh, I remember when I did that. And it just helps you to remember the different things and the milestones that have occurred in your life.
Yeah. Memorabilia has, you know, the same sort of root for memory, you know, to remember something. That sort of M-E-M-O-R is common when we use words related to memory.
Yeah.
So it's very, very long and kind of difficult to say word, but, you know, is I find that I don't have a lot of memorabilia, and that is something that I'm sort of starting to regret, because I don't really remember too much from my elementary school, even though it was relatively not that long ago.
Right, yeah. I mean, there needs to be a balance. You know, I can be a little bit of a pack rat, and my wife is often getting on me about that. You know, I like to keep things because I'm like, oh, you know, one day it'd be nice to look back and see. And then, you know, she's like, but we have so much stuff. So she's like, take a picture. Just take a picture. And I'm like, okay, okay. You know, so, yeah. We do use this word memorabilia, not necessarily about personal artifacts. Like sometimes there's movie memorabilia, right? Or you might get a souvenir from a vacation. Those are memorabilia as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what is number five here?
It says to take a walk in the woods, which is really interesting. It says, and according to the article, communing with nature not only provides the physical benefits of exercise and fresh air, but also may lead you to become more generous and engaged with others, which I didn't really think about, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Going out, getting fresh air definitely does change your mindset. Sure. It's very relaxing, and that might help clear your head. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really connect it necessarily with being thankful, although it does sort of make sense when you think about it.
Sure. I think when you go into nature, you realize just how maybe small you are in this whole grand scheme of things. And so it can stimulate that sense of gratitude. All right. Well, what about you? What are some ways that you stimulate gratitude? Do you have any other ideas that are not in this article? If you do, please do write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com. We'd love to hear from you. As always, remember to check out our QR code at the top of page 36 for more videos and information about this article. Well, friends, thanks for joining us today. Have a great Thanksgiving and enjoy some turkey. And we'll see you next time on Advanced Studio Classroom. Take care, friends. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.